Our Father in heaven, as always, we thank you. I know that each time we come here on the platform, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and understanding. So we declare it again this morning and let it be. Hallelujah. And Lord, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit present today to minister to each and every one of us. Glory to God. We praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Today, I'm going to be speaking prophetically, a prophetic release. That's why we're taking a little break from the shadows of the NCs. I'm coming back to that. But the Lord, he called this out today. And I'll tell you, you'll find out why in a little bit. But I'm going to be reading to us a story from Genesis chapter 8. And today's lesson or message is called the Mountains of Ararat. This is a prophetic release. And Holy Spirit is going to guide us and speak the words that he himself has ordained for us to hear. Genesis chapter 8, you might know the story of Noah in the previous chapter that the Lord instructed him to build the ark and that God was going to destroy everything off the face of the earth except whatever was in the ark. And so, you know, Noah did that and it took many, many years, 120, to get that ready. In the meantime, when the ark was a building, you know, I warned the people of a generation, but they didn't listen. They mocked and everything. But Jesus talked about it himself, said, look, at the end of the age, it will be like the days of Noah. Because the people laughed, they mocked, they did everything. They went about their business, they married, they gave in marriage, they did this and that, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And then all of a sudden, nobody was mocking, nobody was laughing anymore that were not in the ark. And it was too late. You know, so, you know, when God gives his warnings, and people don't listen. Well, it's just like we are here at the end right now. You know, when we talk about the coming of the Lord and the things that are happening, people may or may not believe, but that doesn't change anything. The fact that somebody does not believe what God said is coming doesn't change anything. You may believe it, you may not believe it. It doesn't change anything. But God is going to do what he said he will do. His word will come to pass. We covered that in when we did the understanding Bible prophecy already. There are some unconditional things that God already said will happen, and they will happen. We may, you know, the timing is in his hands, but it will happen. So we are now at the end of the age. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall he be, you know, in the days at the end, Jesus said. Yeah, but you know, that's not really my topic today. However, it's pertinent because Noah played a central role in this story that we're going to tell today. And it's going to be more than a story. We're going to be doing a prophetic release, and you'll find out why in just a bit. Now, Genesis chapter 8 and verse 1. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. Now, before that, you can read the last few verses of the previous chapter, and you will see that the waters were upon the earth for 150 days. You know, the windows of heaven was opened up, and this thing came torrentially upon the earth. I mean, we're not talking about a drizzle here. Just the thing was pouring with fury because God was going to destroy everything. And for 5 months straight, the water did not stop, not even for 1 second. You know, and so, but, you know, God already gave Noah his, you know, specifications of how to build the ark. You know, God gave him the wisdom of how to build the ark. And he built it. And God knew, you know, how the what will make the ark to be able to survive the flood, how the ark needed to be built, how big it needed to be to house all the things that Noah needed to bring in there, and the technology, you know, to build that house, I mean that ark, so it will survive the flood. God gave all that knowledge to Noah, and Noah carried it out. Now notice also, the Lord told Noah, so this is one of our punchlines today. The Lord told Noah that the flood was coming to destroy the earth. But Noah is going to have to build the ark. Ladies and gentlemen, it's number one lesson today. Yes, the Lord has told you certain things, but there are certain things also that you're going to have to do. God wasn't going to build that ark. He wasn't going to do it. Noah would build the ark. Didn't matter how long it took him to do it, Noah was going to have to do it. Now, God will show him, you know, the wisdom on how to do it. He may have never done anything like that. God will visit him, give him dimensions, give him visions, guide him all the way, show him where to get timber, get wood, get the supplies. God will lead him to all the things he needs. But he, Noah, is going to have to build the ark. Hallelujah. So that's the same thing with us today. You know, that God makes provision, but you're going to have to do something. Praise God. You know, it's like, I mean, and God has blessed the human race, I mean, mankind, with incredible understanding. You know, I mean, arks are built today, but even beyond arks, people build automobiles, they build aircraft, they build all kinds of things today. Now, God doesn't build those things, but, you know, he gives people the resources, gives them, you know, how to do it. I mean, consider even the work of a carpenter. Jesus came in the house of a carpenter. You know, God doesn't build furniture, but he creates trees. So he creates the trees that a carpenter is going to have to build that furniture. Ladies and gentlemen, God already put out there the resources that you need. He's going to guide you and lead you to it, but you're going to have to build the ark. That's right. No folding of the arms, no sitting on the sidelines and just thinking that everything's just going to be like that. No. God will give you the wisdom. God will give you the direction. God will show you what to do, but you're going to have to do it. Praise the Lord. So that's number one lesson. But going back to this story here, the heavens opened up, poured furiously upon the earth for 5 straight months, 150 days nonstop. And then we pick up the story here in Genesis chapter 8. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters are surged. You know, so that means the waters stayed, basically. Now, let's see all the things that were in that ark. Well, God gave him instruction. There were certain things he had to bring in the ark, you know, even for the sacrifice that Noah was going to do later on. God already gave him the order, you know, gave him instructions on what animals to bring, the clean animals for that, and so on. But beyond that, God also gave him instruction to bring 2 by 2, you know, all the animals and so forth, so that they would reproduce after the flood, you know, so, and all of that. And of course, there was tremendous dominion given to Noah. If you've never thought about it, think about it today. How one person would command all the animals of the world. By this time, they were already wild. You know, by the time of Noah, I mean, by the time of Adam, when Adam had dominion initially, there was nothing wild. Everything was beautiful that God made. There was a substance that issued out of Adam that brought everything under control. They looked to Adam and they were enlightened, pretty much. Whatever Adam said, that was the thing of it. you know, and, but after the so-called fall, you know, things began to go into rebellion. There was not, they could no longer sense, you know, that aura that was coming out of Adam. The glory of God was no longer there, according to Romans 3 and 23. You know, we fell from the glory of God. That glory was no longer there. Things started to rebel, even nature. Plants became wild. They started to grow poisons. Animals became wild. They started to be wild. They were not wild initially. God didn't create any wild animals. It was beautiful in his time. I would say everything created was beautiful. You know, so, but we can now notice all the wild animals by the time of Noah and the incredible authority and dominion that was in his hands and around him to command all those animals. And they came up before him for audition, you know, and he selected two by two and he sent all the others away. You know, just imagine it. And when they came in the ark, gave them instructions of how to behave, what to do. Nobody, you know, growling at any other. I mean, no animal growling at the others. No one praying on anything. Everybody in their own little corner and just stay where you are. Be quiet and behave yourselves. And they did. Amazing stuff. I mean, what a sight to have seen that. See, you know, the lion and see, you know, the cheetah and the, you know, puma and tiger and all these animals, wild animals. See them just lying down with the cattle, with the chicken and everything like that. And everything just behaving themselves. Even the viper and all these wicked animals used to be, you know, wild and wicked. All of them just docile and, you know, obedient. Powerful, powerful stuff. But before we go further, let me drop another, you know, what might be a, you know, I forget what I call those things, punchline. Let me drop another one for us today. You know, this ark, this flood, and all of these things that were going to happen. Of course, we know that God foresaw it all because he is the Lord like that. Let me say this to us today, and this will come in for our lesson today. You know, God doesn't start anything until first he has finished it. Let me say that again, ladies and gentlemen. God does not start anything until first he has finished that thing. Now, you say, well, that's kind of, you know, backwards. Well, because that's the way the Lord is. First, he finishes the thing, and then he starts it. That's the way it works. Ladies and gentlemen, today, hear ye this thing. Don't think that God is doing anything now in order for you to get to somewhere that he's going. No, first, he finished it, then he starts it. That's how it works. Because the Lamb was slain before the world even began, because your names were written in the book of life before the world began, because he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. He finished the thing first before he even started it. Ladies and gentlemen, let that sink in today, because I'm going to call out some things here in a few minutes, you know, but it's because God already finished it. See, God finished something first, before he even started it. That's the way it is with him. The Bible says that he declares the end from the beginning and says, my counsel shall stand and I will do all of my pleasure, saith the Lord. Glory to God. Remember, he said, the former things of old, Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, because he already did it. Hallelujah. He did it already before he even does it. You know, so I, you know, if you can catch that revelation today, so powerful stuff, even if that's the only thing you get out of this today, then know that, you know, whatsoever the Lord doeth. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 14. It shall be forever. This man said, I know. Now, do you know? I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. Now, listen to verse 15. Powerful stuff in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. That which has been is now. And that which, you know, is to be, hath already been. You know, the thing that is yet to come, it has already been. You know, in case you're saying, what are you saying here this morning? With God, he finished the thing before he even started it. The end with God comes before the beginning. I don't know how else to say it, ladies and gentlemen. That's the only way I can say it. With God, the end comes before the beginning. He declares the end, you know, from the beginning. I mean, the thing that is yet to be has already been. So, you know, I mean, Christ already died, was already slain before the world even began. Why? Because the Lord finishes the thing before he even starts it. According to Ephesians chapter 1, we covered this when we did the book of Ephesians. We were called in him, chosen in him before the world even began. Jesus even told the disciples after they came back and said, oh, the devils are subject to it. He said, look, that's not the reason why you should be happy. But the reason you should rejoice is because your names were written in heaven before the world even began. So, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, God finished the thing first before he even starts it. Now, if we get a hold of that revelation, then we're going to have so much faith and confidence in the Lord. You know, as far as God is concerned, this journey wherein he said in Genesis chapter 1 and 26, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let him have dominion. It was already done even before he started. It was done. That's why, you know, Paul can now come back by the Holy Ghost in Romans chapter 8 and 29 and say that God foreknew the end from the beginning. Actually, he predetermined it, that we will be conformed to the image of his son. That's the end. The end with God is finished before the starting of the beginning. Ladies and gentlemen, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, it was already done. And then now, he tells us how he's going to do it. It's already done. The heaven and the earth already created. In his mind, it's already done. Then he begins to reveal how it actually happened. First, he gives us the summary of everything he did, because he already did it. The heavens and the earth created. Done. Now, he goes and actually does it and shows us how it is done. Now, so this story of Noah, the ark, the flood, and all of these things. The end of the flood, the salvation of Noah and his family, his three sons, their wives, his own wife, and so forth, and all the things that he brought into the ark, all of that already happened before it happened. Before it even started. You know, so in the mind of God, enter the mind of the Spirit right now. If you can enter the mind of the Spirit, then you will understand this thing. If you can't, then you will not understand. And you will argue it, you know, back and forth. But hey, there is no argument, because the Bible clearly substantiates it. Even Christ, the Lamb, slain before. I mean, no, the world was not even formed. Adam was not there. Adam had not sinned. Nobody had done anything. But yet, you know, the Lamb was slain, because God finishes the thing before he even starts it. Glory to God. Once he finishes it, then he walks backwards. And then he sits down and lets it happen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, so, ladies and gentlemen, that ought to boost your faith today. You know, but we're coming to a declaration here in a minute. Now, this was not the room that I planned for today, but God called for this. Now, back to our story in Genesis chapter 8. So we are here. The rain's been raining and everything's been happening. Noah is in the ark with his family and the animals, and the fountains, my goodness, the fountains also of the deep and the heavens, the windows of heavens that were opened up in chapter 7, according to Genesis 8 and 2, they were stopped. The rain from heaven was restrained. The waters returned from the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, five straight months that this thing was pouring, the waters were abated. And here's where we're going. This is where the prophetic release from today, Holy Spirit called it out. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 4. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the seventh day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. Well, we know that the Gregorian calendar is not the same as the Jewish calendar and all of that. But nonetheless, prophetically, because God uses symbols and symbolism in prophetic realm, he said, look, I spoke to the prophets in symbols, you know, and so forth. We covered that before. So now, prophetically, today, also being the 17th day of the seventh month, glory to God. Guess what he said in Genesis 8 and 4. On the 17th day of the seventh month, something happened. And Holy Spirit wanted me to call that out today as well. You know, yet I was going to continue the prophetic series on Shadows of the End. But he wanted me to call this out. It's a significant thing. Hallelujah. It's a symbolism of this day, July the 17th. On this day, all the up and down and all of these things, the ark going up and down, going this way and that way, billows and so forth, all that was happening, you know, the mountains of Ararat. People think it's Mount Ararat, but there were a series of mountains. Although today, you know, there's one particular mountain that is called that. And the thing is a volcanic mountain, kind of. You know, and, you know, it's somewhere in Turkey or whatever. The thing erupts occasionally. But the mountains of Ararat that we're talking about here were the place where the ark finally landed. And that whole symbolism is what we want to call out today. Glory to God. Now, beginning today, now let's read what happened after that. Let's read the next few verses. He said, the fountains also of the deep, the windows of heaven, were stopped. Now, this was the thing that was bringing destruction upon the earth. The rain from heaven was restrained. This was not a good rain. This was a destructive rain. The waters from the earth, you know, returned continually. And after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters, notice, from the 17th day of the seventh month, the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. And in the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. Thank you, Jesus. And I remember that this verse, Genesis 8:5, was given to us when we started this room on October 1 last year. You know, and we spoke prophetically then that being the first day of the 10th month, the mountains, you know, the tops of the mountains will be seen. And the things which had hitherto been elusive, unattainable, they were going to be within reach. That was prophetically given then. Today, we prophetically give this one as well. That from now, and you know, if the Lord tarries and gives us grace to October 1 this year, it will be 1 year since we started this room, daily room. We're doing other things before then, but this daily room. You know, so from now till October 1, let the waters continually recede. Hallelujah. Now I'm declaring, I'm going to the prophetic declaration part of this message now. We are now at the place where the ark rested on the mountains of Ararat. And it so happened that it was on the 17th day of the 7th month. I know it's not exactly this day in the Gregorian calendar, but nonetheless, symbolically, on this 17th day of this 7th month, hallelujah, may the ark and all the troubles let. In fact, I'm not going to use the word may. I'm going to use the word let. Now, because I was going to say may, and Holy Spirit said, no, don't say may, say let. You know, because God, in the beginning, he said, let. Let means, you know, and it shall cause to happen. And it shall cause to come to pass. You know, that's what let means. You know, whatever it takes, it will be caused to happen. It will be caused to come to pass. So when the Lord said, let there be such and such. Well, you know, a month or so ago, we also did the room called, and if you missed that one, you absolutely must listen to it. And I know even the devil, the first day we did that room, was so powerful, my voice was silenced. And I had to come back and do it the next day. It was called, let the waters be gathered together and let the dry land appear. You can go check it out. I think it was, you know, June 13th was the first day we did it. And I had to come back and do it again on June 14th, something like that. You know, check out the replays. Powerful stuff. You know, and in that lesson, we brought out the fact that, look, there was stuff that the Lord already put in the earth. But that's, all that stuff could not be discovered. It could not come out. The earth could not yield her increase until first the waters had to be moved out of place. The waters covered up the earth. God deposited so many things in this earth that was, the earth was going to bring forth cattle, bring forth birds, bring forth this, bring forth that, and bring forth all kinds of things. But they couldn't do it until first God caused the waters that covered the earth to be gathered together in one place. And he said, let the waters that are underneath the firmament, well, before then he created the firmament, divided the waters, put some above, put some beneath. And I said, well, the ones that are beneath, let them be gathered together in one place. And let the dry land appear. And the word let, so powerful. And all that God has to say is actually let. That's all. First, because one, the thing has already happened. So God is now, you know, kickstarting the thing that already happened. As far as he's concerned, it's already happened. He finished it before he started it. That's the way it works. So now he's just going to say, okay, you know, go. So today I'm going to use the word also let. And when the Lord says let, you know, he gives the word like that, everything will come together to make that thing happen. Once he says the word, all creation, everything, he obey that word. It's only rebellious man that doesn't want to obey that. You know, but they will obey by the rod of iron. It's coming later on. God will give people now the choice to obey willingly, bow the knee willingly, or one way or another, every knee shall bow. You can do it willingly now, or you can do it by the rod of iron, but it's going to happen. Even the devil himself, you know, all of it, because it's already happened, you know, so it will happen. Praise God. So now, you know, when God says, let, everything begins to move into position. Now, let the dry land appear also for Noah. So what did God do? Well, let's see how he did it. You know, God will cause different things to pass. He made a wind to pass over the earth. God uses these elements. He loves to use the wind. You know, he used the wind, the east wind, in the case of the Red Sea moment that we see in Genesis 14. Caused an east wind to blast up against that sea all night long. The raging of the sea, the wind itself coming in full force. You know, what you might say, the unmovable force meets the irresistible force. But look, that irresistible force is going to move that so-called unmovable sea, going to push it out of the way, pile it up on each side, and the dry land will appear. One word or one action from the Lord, move your rod over the sea, or say this or do that. Now, again, one word. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you this, men and brethren, ladies and gentlemen, what is the one thing that comes to mind for you today? If I should say, if the Lord put the word in my mouth to say let this morning, what is the let that needs to happen for you? Hallelujah. What is the place, you know, what is the, you know, the tossing up and down? What is the going through, I mean, your heart in your mouth for months, you know, I mean, can you imagine? Noah himself believed God, but I don't, I'm not too sure about his sons and their wives, you know, but they would just say, well, I hope this man knows what he's doing. You know, everybody is scared. The boat is, I mean, the thing is tossing up and down and so forth like that. I mean, it's like, you know, and Noah kept saying, everything going to be all right. Because the Lord said so. And, you know, say, everything's going to be all right. You know, everything's going to be all right. You know, and everything's going to be all right for 150 days. My goodness, you know, but everything did eventually turn out right. You know, so whilst you are going through, and you've been going through, but I'm going to say the word let today, and I want to ask you, what is the thing that is in your mind that should be let? That God should let something happen concerning that thing. So, you know, remember, Noah was the one that built the ark. God didn't build the ark. You know, so you are the one that's going to do that today. God's not going to do it. He already did it. As far as God's concerned, it's already finished. The ark was already finished before Noah even started building it. The storm, everything already happened, even before God even started it. You know, so that's why I'm laying that principle that, look, God finishes something first before he even starts it. It's already finished before he ever started. That's the way it works with God. You know, so the thing that you've been going through the past 5 months, 150 days, prophetically speaking, bounce you all over the place, your heart in your mouth. You don't know whether this thing is ever going to stop. I mean, God didn't tell him how long it was going to be. God just told him it's going to happen. And when the Lord, when he saw, when God held up the heavens until the ark was finished, a building. When he finished it, and God gave him instruction and he carried it out. As soon as he got the last one in, God shut him in. God was the one that closed the door. Noah didn't close the door. God closed the doors. That's it. He shut him in. And then he opened here, he closed one door and then opened some others. He closed the door of the ark and opened up the windows of heaven. Huh, my goodness. And that was not a good opening. You know, I mean, all kinds of things can come from heaven. God can send, you know, tremendous blessing. God can also send tremendous judgment. Everything, he can do it either way he wants. This time around, he was going to wipe everything off. But, you know, on that same mountain of Ararat. Well, let's see what happened here. You know, Noah, you know, he looked out. He saw water. And he looked out. He saw water. So he began to test it. He sent forth a raven. Went forth to see whether the waters were dry. Then he sent forth a dove after him and so forth to see whether the waters were dry. Well, the dove, we're not told what happened to the raven, but the dove, you know, which needed a place necessarily to land, you know, could not land. It came back. Okay, so Noah knew that the waters were still on the face of the earth. Brought the dove in, waited 7 days, sent the dove out again, and so on and so forth. Finally, this dove comes back with an olive leaf that he plucked off. And then Noah said, ah, I know that the waters are dry. Because this dove needed a place to land. Couldn't land before. So now, and then he waited yet another 7 days, sent forth the dove again, and the dove doesn't return. So Noah is confident, you know, that the earth is now dry. You know, and in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, the earth was now dried. That's verse 14 of Genesis 18. I mean, Genesis 8. And so Noah says, all right, you know, calls his sons and their wives. Let's gather your stuff. It's time to step out. And say, oh no, you step out first. They're not going to do it because everybody is scared. But he assures them, it's all good. Look, if God wanted to kill us, you'd be dead already. You know, so look around. Everything else is dead. So fear not. So Noah settled their heart and they come out of there. And then when they come out, Noah, the first thing that he does, he remembers that God gave him commandment to bring some clean, you know, animals. And he said, ah, now I know why. You know, so he's going to get and himself together for a sacrifice to the Lord. And so in verse 20, Noah built an ark unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl, and he offered burnt offerings on the altar. Now, this was also, remember, all of this happening on the mountains of Ararat. You know, we don't know, it wasn't described to us how they came down from those mountains. So we don't know. So use your imagination. That are still up there. And, but leads into this sacrifice that he did. When he did that, the Bible says, the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. Now, people don't know this, that the Lord said this. People know that the Lord said, I will no longer destroy the earth by water. But they forget that the Lord said, I'm removing the curse even from the ground. You know, but it wasn't removed really fully until Christ came. But it was already done. Everything's done before he even started it. But here he turned it backwards. That curse that the Lord put upon the ground for Adam's sake because of his disobedience, the Lord said, I'm not going to curse it anymore. Now, but the curse that was there was still there, but I'm not going to curse it. No new curses that are coming. And Jesus came to finally finish that up. And the Lord said, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest time, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. God put it way out there. Now, let me tell you something about day and night. Till this day, and well, there's coming a time when there will be no more night. There will always be day. you know, but one time coming in the future, there will be no more night. And night and day is how we count the day, quote, you know. So the evening and the morning were the first day. When there is no more evening, then there will be no more time. That's how you count time. You know, after it's dark and then it's light again, then you say one day has passed. That's how they did it in Genesis. Well, the Lord, when he commanded the light to shine out of darkness, he left the darkness in place. And he gave a name to the darkness. You heard me say that. He called it night. And he had a purpose for it, because he could have rebuked the darkness, could have said, let the darkness be no more. He didn't say that. But he only said, let there be light. And, you know, the word of God is exactly, whatever God says is exactly how it's going to happen. God, if God had said, let there be light, and let the darkness be no more, we would never have had any darkness after that. But he didn't say that. He did, however, say, let there be light. And he stopped right there. And he looked at the light was good. But he left his darkness in place as well. And he divided the darkness from the light, and called the darkness night, and called the light day. You know, and that's what he did from the beginning. And so we see that here God is still saying night and day will continue. Harvest of, this is where people call get their seasons and things like that from seed time and harvest, and those people who use and preach these things. You know, seed time and harvest, seed time, harvest time, summer, winter, night, day. There's no such thing with God. That's all, just for us. This is upon the earth. While the earth remaineth, you know, these are things on the earth. You know, God himself, you know, he dwells in the heavens. The heavens of heavens cannot contain him. He's not bound by seasons and times and things like that. But that's for us. But nevertheless, you know, since we know that there is going to be night and day, when you are in the night, then you need to also know that the day is coming. Praise the Lord. Psalm 30 and verse 5 says, look, sorrow may endure for a night, but just as surely as the night is here, that day must break. And there's going to be the breaking of day, and it will bring joy in the morning. So when we are going through the night, in the night seasons, in the winter seasons here in the United States, there are some parts of this country where the night seasons are very long days. I mean, long hours, long nights, rather, I meant to say. Long nights. But no matter how long the night is, at some point in time, the day must break. That's always my confidence. It's like, well, you know, this day, I mean, this night shall pass and the day will break. And then, you know, I'm kicking it up into gear today for every one of us to say, not only shall this night pass, this night has already passed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I mean, everything in God's mind is already done before it even started. Let us go over to the other side. Jesus is already on the other side, even before he started. So as far as he's concerned, you know, he dropped the word. That's it. The word will sustain itself. He can just go and sleep in the back of the boat. Doesn't matter whether the storm will come or whatever. Jesus is already on the other side. So that's what he said. You know, so that word let is so powerful. And I'm going to declare over this room right now, every one of you that's in here, we're going to do this together, because Noah had to do it together with God. God didn't exactly build in the ark. And you said, I mean, how in the world would God expect him to do that? Well, God equipped him with incredible knowledge. My goodness. He had a knowledge of God. He had the knowledge of science. He had the knowledge of technology. He had incredible knowledge to build that ark, to sustain all of that. You know, he did too. He got some help, you know, maybe from the, we call them Nethinims, you know, and he got some help from them and so on. But they didn't know what they were doing, but Noah did it anyhow, you know, and invited some of them to come on in, but they wouldn't. They mocked at it, and well, at the end, it was not good for them. But he made sure he got his family in there. There was no choice for the family. You are going to go in the ark. That's it. You know, so, ladies and gentlemen, don't leave your loved ones behind. Bring them in the ark. Don't leave them behind. But let's look at this thing that God had Noah do. You know, and let's gird up your loins right now. You're going to do this together with me and the Holy Spirit. As Holy Spirit said, this is what you are doing today. And so that's what I'm doing. So this story about the mountains of Ararat, you know, it's a story. It's an enjoyable story, but it's more than that. We're bringing a prophetic release out of it. You know, that on this 17th day of the 7th month, prophetically speaking, something happens for you. Hallelujah. And from now, the next few months until October the 1st, prophetically speaking, you know, waters begin to recede, begin to recede, begin to recede. And wow, once again, the top of the mountains will be seen. But right now, you know, let the ark come to rest. Hallelujah. And the word rested that is used here is the same word that was used concerning God on the seventh day. God rested from his works on the seventh day. The ark rested on the mountains of Ararat. The ark was not tired. Rested here means come to a halt. That's what the ark did. It came to a halt on top of the mountains of Ararat. God also came to a halt concerning his works. It wasn't that he was tired. People have told us for centuries and thousands of years that God was tired. That's why he rested. But we know, I mean, that was a myth, and we already bust that bubble in this room sometime back. But in case you are hearing it for the first time, you know, hear it again. God was never tired, because the Almighty does not tire. You know, he's Almighty. He's omniscience. He's omnipresence. He's omni everything. He doesn't tire. Listen to Isaiah. So just a little digression for some that may be hearing it for the first time. Isaiah chapter 40. And he says, have you not known? And have you not heard? Has he not been told you from the beginning? Isaiah 40 verse 21. And have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is the Lord that seated upon the circle of the earth. When God said this, people didn't even know the earth was round. Some people were saying then Columbus and the rest of them were arguing, you know, and so forth, you know, and then they discovered it. But he already said it, you know. And he said, look, the earth was seated on the circle of the earth. You know, and the Lord said, look, look up on your eyes on high and see who has created these things. Verse 26, to whom will you liken me? Or who shall I be equal? Said the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and behold who has created these things. I bringeth forth their hosts by their number. Calleth them all by their names, by the greatness of his might. Who is he that do it? For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Anything that God put out there, from the day he said it till now, he put out the sun, put out the moon, put out the stars, put all these planets out there, which people are still discovering. Not one of them is failing. They don't need to be serviced. There is no maintenance schedule. At every 30,000 miles, you know, the sun goes around something. I mean, the earth goes around, you know, every million miles or every million days or these, you know, then service it so that it's, you know, keep going. No, God put it out there. Not one failure. Doesn't need any maintenance. It's there. It's just like that. That's how powerful the Lord is. And if he has all that power, well, here's what he says, you know. And then why are you saying, oh, Jacob, and why are you saying my way is hid from the Lord? And the Lord doesn't know the things that I'm going through. I mean, the Lord that does all these things doesn't know what you are doing, doesn't know what you are going through. The Lord knows the end from the beginning. He just wants you to trust him and believe him. And here's what he says in verse 28. Has thou not known? Has thou not heard? and the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, never gets tired. You know, so he wasn't, didn't stop anything, you know, on the seventh day. Didn't rest on the seventh day because he was tired. He rested because he came to a halt, just like the ark. Ark wasn't tired, just came to a halt. And God did that because he said, the man is here now. The man has arrived. See, let him, you know, have dominion. That's the word let again. You know, and God stepped back and told Adam, you got this. Whatever you say goes. What are you going to call this? Adam said, he said, fine. What are you going to call that one? Adam said, it's fine. What is that going to be? God, you know, God asked him. Adam said this. And God said, fine. You are in charge now. Have at it. Praise the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know, you are in charge of the decree that we are going to make today. Now, I will make the decree. I will speak the word. But did you know that, you know, I've been in places, right, where I've had preached and had an interpreter that held the mic with me on stage. One time, actually, believe it or not, I actually was an interpreter years ago, you know, for somebody else that preached. I don't know how that happened. Somebody asked me to interpret in Yoruba language, which was very difficult, you know, but I did somehow. It always came upon me. But, you know, most of the time, I'm the one preaching and somebody else interpreting. And anyway, when the preacher is preaching and the interpreter is interpreting, did you know that, I mean, this has been said before, did you know that the most powerful person in that auditorium that day exactly is not the preacher, especially if the people can't understand the language of the preacher? The most powerful person is the interpreter, because it's whatever he says that the speaker said is what the people are going to hear, even if that's not what the speaker said, you know, but that's what he said the speaker said, you know, and that's what they're going to hear. You know, the speaker said something which they don't understand. The interpreter said, here's what the speaker said. And everybody says, oh, that's what the speaker said. You know, so ladies and gentlemen, that power, you know, is in your hands, you know, to say what the Lord said. Now, the Lord already said it. Now you say it. Because to the Lord, it's already finished before it even started. Now, if you can walk in that light today, great things will happen for you. Now, I'm going to make this declaration. And I want you to join with me. Let's make this declaration together. Everybody in this place, make this declaration together. Knowing that the Lord already finished the thing before he started it. You know, I hope we brought that across well enough today. It's finished already before he even started it. Now, he will enact it. He will walk through it, but it's already finished. Now, Christ will come later, you know, many, many years after he was already slain, and then he will enact it, and people will go and kill him on the cross, as if that's they are doing something. It was already done. Praise the Lord. You know, so everything is already done, even before it starts. That's the thing with God today. The ark is already coming to rest on the top of the mountains of Ararat, even before the windows of heaven opened up for the flood to start. It was already done. Praise the Lord. So that's our lesson today. And we are now prophetically declaring that the ups and downs, the topsy-turvy that's been going on in your life, you know, your mouth, your heart on your mouth, not knowing how this thing will end. I mean, you know, the sons of Noah, they didn't know how these things were going to end. Their wives didn't know how it was going to end. Noah himself didn't exactly know, but he knew because the Lord said so. But the others, you know, he just kind of carried them along, you know. They didn't know how this thing was going to end, but it is going to end. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Now, are you ready? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to take a minute here. I'm going to take a minute here to let you gather your thoughts. And then I want all of us to pray. Praise God. When you are ready to join me, then I want you to hit the hand raising button. Think about it. But what is the thing, you know, that must come to an end? Hallelujah. What is the thing that must come to an end? That's the declaration we're going to make today. Now, let me read it to you in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23 and verse 18. The thing that must come to an end. For surely there is an end, and your expectation shall not be cut off. The ark is surely coming to the top of mountains of Ararat. God already knew that even before it started. So there is an end. And we're going to pray together. And you are going to declare it for yourself. Now, the end actually is the beginning. This is the thing that I'm trying to bring out today. The end is the beginning. Praise the Lord. You know, so when God already ended it, then he begins something. When God ended the flood, then he begins something else. Then he begins the water receding, and then finally the top of the mountains are seen. And then all kinds of other great things happen. But first, he ended it before he even started it. You know, so if you understand that today, let's do this together. Let's take advantage of the anointing that God sent with me, ahead of me, into this room today to do this different than what I had in mind. So, but you are going to do it. Hallelujah. You are going to do it because Noah was the one that built the ark. So here's what we're going to do. There is an end, surely. Now, if that's you here today, I want you to raise your hand. I spent that time just trying to explain it, you know. And if you now understand it and you are ready, then raise your hand. We're going to pray together. This is not for you to come to stage. This is just for you to engage in this prayer. Occasionally, I do this in this room. Most of the time when I do it, it's not actually when I plan to do it. I didn't plan to do this today. But the Lord, he foresaw and he brought it to my spirit yesterday as I was meditating. And he took me to that scripture and I read and I said, oh, wow, the seventh day of the seventh month. And he said, yeah, that's what you're going to do. I said, oh, wow. You know, so I started to prepare my mind towards it and so on. So we are here today and each one of you will be declaring something. Now, when I say let here, what is the thing that you need to cause to happen for you? Hallelujah. You know, the let means cause it to happen, cause it to come to pass. So there is something that's been going on and enough already. Hallelujah. Enough already. Let the ark come to a rest on the tops of the mountains of Ararat. Enough already. Let my people go. God told Pharaoh that he wouldn't do it, but God showed him too. Praise the Lord. You know, so what is the one thing that comes to your mind? I encourage you, raise your hand. And as you raise your hand, zero in on that thing. And together we are going to do the let in just a minute. Let such and such be. That's what you're going to say for yourself. Hallelujah. And you may be standing in the gap for somebody else too, and that's good. But today it's about the ark. Now it's been tossed up and down, going through all these things for the past 150 days, but enough already. Hallelujah. enough. Let it now come to a halt on top of the mountains of Ararat. So that's why we're calling it the Mount Ararat Declaration. Hallelujah. The mountains of Ararat today. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, the Lord is passing by today. Don't let him pass you by. Praise God. You know, we are going to release power into the atmosphere. Why? Because it's already done. See, God had to teach me this, you know, and he said, no, I've already done it before I started it. And I said, wow, yeah, that's right. So now that's my new thing. My new thing now is now I know that God already finished it before he even started it. He has to finish the thing first. God doesn't start anything that he hasn't first finished. He finished it first before he even starts it. After he's finished it, then he steps back and then he starts it. Then he can show you things to come because it's already happened. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let us decree together. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I have declared your word. Jesus said, Father, I have declared your word to them. Lord, I have also declared your word on this day. And the people have understood. That's right. Now, Father, the hour is come. Glory to God. The hour is come. The up and down, the tossing here and there, and all of that must come to a halt upon the mountains of Ararat. Let there be calm and peace and rest for your people. Just like the mountains of Ararat will now receive the ark, God already prepared the ground to receive the ark. Glory to God. Let the ground be prepared. Yes, it's already happened. The Lord said, look, it's already happened now. So come into the place of rest. Lord God Almighty, in your name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, yeah, we speak forth your word now. Let the ark, after all the tossing up and down for 150 days, all hell breaking loose and everything going on, today being the 17th day of the seventh month, let the ark now come and find a resting place on the tops of the mountains of Ararat. Father, for all the hands that are raised in signifying today that they are agreeing together with me that God told Noah the ark was coming. I mean, the flood was coming, but Noah had to build the ark. Ladies and gentlemen, you agree with me by raising your hand today. You agree with me that God told you that now you got to do this thing. The word of faith is in your mouth. It's not in heaven. It's not in the grave. Don't say who's going to go dig up Jesus from the grave. He's no longer there. Don't say who's going to bring him down from heaven. No, that's not it. But the word is in your mouth. And you are going to declare it. That's how it works all the time. That's what God said to Adam. You say it. And whatever you say goes. That's what God said to Ezekiel. He said, look at these dry bones. Can they live? He said, well, I don't know. The Lord said, well, they can too, and you will make it happen. Now, here's what I want you to do. Prophesy upon the bones that are in the ground. And he did. And then they stood up. But there still there was no life. And God said, well, there's one more thing you got to do. Look up and prophesy unto the winds. And then cause the east wind and this wind to come and fill them with breath. But you're going to do it. So, ladies and gentlemen, you are speaking the word. I believe that you are speaking the word to your situation right now. Each one of you that has your hands raised, you are speaking to that situation. You are speaking to it and you are saying, let, hallelujah, glory to God. You know, now there might be gates of brass and bars of iron that the devil has put up against you, let the gates be broken. Hallelujah. Let the bars of iron be cut in pieces. Glory to God. Jesus even said, look, you can look at the mountains. You know, mountains are for many different things. So, you know, sometimes they represent strength and stability and anchor. Sometimes they represent hindrance in the Bible. Well, you can look to the mountains that are hindrances in your Bible, in your life, and say, let this mountain be removed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let it be removed. And let it be cast into yonder place. And it shall come to pass, if you doubt it not. You can look at the things that are going on in your life. You know, maybe there has been stagnation. And there has been no movement. I've been preaching and prophesying this thing this year that there has to be movement. But maybe there is a little bit of movement and more stagnation. A little bit of movement and more stagnation. Well, today, the word is in your mouth. You declare the movement that you want to see. Let the ark come to the place of rest upon the mountains of Ararat. Symbolically and spiritually, I release that into the lives of everyone that has their hands raised and that they are declaring it in their mouth, with their mouth, in their rooms, wherever they are, they're declaring it. Now, the Lord has given the word, and great are the company that are publishing it. So it's already done as far as he's concerned. And he put the word in your mouth for you to declare it. So you got to declare it for yourself. Declare the thing that you want. The thing that's been going up and down for the past 150 days or however long it is. Look, the thing that the Lord said you will do this, but you are not doing it. You will emerge, but you are not emerging. You will advance, but you are not advancing. You advance a little, but then you take a few steps backwards. Stagnation and all of these things. On this 17th day of this 7th month, even as finally, after all of that, the ark rested on the mountains of Ararat. So I release a rest and a peace and a calm, tranquility for the people of God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that, look, the word the Lord doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it or taken from it, but it's already done. He said, that which is yet to be has already been. The Lord already finished it before he even started it. Glory to God. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the grace of God that is released in this room today. You put the knowledge in Noah's ark and Noah's mind to build the ark. Now you put knowledge. I command knowledge and understanding into the heart of your people today to do the thing. Hallelujah. After you declare this word today, that's done. But then God will give you the knowledge of what you need to do. It will give you the real strategy. But first, it's done. So you declare it done already. Hallelujah. Now it could also be, you know, a health issue. You declare it today that it's already done. Why? Because Jesus already did it. We know that. But you need to declare it for yourself too. You need to enforce it. Now after you enforce it, then you go about your business. God will now show you how to do it. You know, God will now give Noah how to build the ark. But the ark was already built, as far as God is concerned. It's already done. You know, God saw it, then God will show him, look, this is what it looks like. Because the ark is already built, as far as God is concerned. This is what it looks like. You do it like this, you do it like that, you do it like this. After the pattern that is showed unto you in the mount, he told Moses. God, things are already done in heaven, and then God began to show people how to do it upon the earth. He said to Job, do you understand the ordinances of heaven? Can you set their dominion upon the earth? Well, absolutely. If you can understand it, that in the heaven is already done, and you can open your eyes and God can show you. Then that's why the Holy Spirit was told of, we're told of the Holy Spirit in John 16 and 13, that when he comes, he will show you things to come, because those things to come have already been. So as God is concerned, it's already happened. God will now show you how to get there. He already said we are going to be like the Christ. Hallelujah. And his mind is already done. So now he's going to show you how to get there.
Praise the Lord.
So Father, I thank you for the release from the mouth of your children, the prophetic blessings that they want in their lives. I thank you for the advancement. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All the crawling, the snail spirits and so forth are crawling in your lives. We banish them in the name of Jesus. Advancement. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. The yo-yo thing also, we come against it in the name of the Lord. The thing that goes up and down, that's how the ark was yo-yoing for 150 days. No more! Glory to God. You know, let there be stability now. Stand still now upon the ark of the mountains of Ararat. Stability now. No more yo-yo up and down in the name of the Lord Jesus. God is not a God of yo-yo. God has no variableness or shadow of turning. God has no mood swings. One day he's up, I feel good, so I'm going to bless my people. Tomorrow, I don't feel so good, so I'm not going to bless them. No, God is not a yo-yo God. He has no variableness, no shadow of turning, no mood swings. Hallelujah. His word is forever settled in heaven. Now let it be settled in your heart as you declare it for yourself today. And from this day forth, even for the next few days, until the tops of the mountains be seen, prophetically, he said on October 1, the top of the mountains were seen. You know, from July 17th to October 1, something is going to happen. Something is being birthed to be released. The birth of every child is already done as far as God is concerned. You know, but it's going to take a process, you know, to bring it forth. So the thing that you are releasing, that you are birthing today, as you release it, step back and give him praise, because it's already done. Hallelujah. It's done already. God put it inside the seed to bring forth of itself. He put it inside the tree, the seed and everything to bring forth of themselves. He put it inside the animals to bring forth their own kind. He put it inside the earth actually to release things. But first, he got to move the waters out of the place. And he already did. So it's done. I am Alpha and Omega. It is done. Hallelujah. And I make all things new. And he can do it because it's already done. So now he can cause it to come forth. He can now say, let there be the thing which is already done. The thing which I already finished. Now let it spring forth. Before it spring forth, shall I not tell you? That's what he said. He said, before it spring forth, I will tell you, because it's already done. And then I can cause it to spring forth. Before anything spring forth, it was already done. Done deal. So ladies and gentlemen, it was finished before it even started. Hallelujah. God finished it before it even began to spring forth. That's why he can tell you of them before they even spring forth. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, we have declared. Amen and amen.